Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Suspects have been arrested in connection with the North Pole murder. Alaska State Troopers report that a multi-agency investigation resulted in the arrest of six people, including two juveniles, related to the July 22nd fatal shooting of 60-year-old Charles Baptiste at a North Pole residence. Troopers say the six were involved in a plot to rob Baptiste. Baptiste was killed and another man at the residence sustained a non-fatal gunshot wound. The suspects face a mix of charges, including murder and assault. Firefighters working the Texalda Hill wildfire near Tok are conducting burnouts to protect native land allotments. According to the Alaska Division of Forestry, crews have been cutting line and then igniting burns to create protective buffers around the allotments. The Texalda fire has burned an estimated 15,200 acres of Tetlin Village Corporation land. 131 firefighters are working the incident. Three other fires are also being fought across the interior. They include the 6,000-acre Andrew Creek fire in the Yukon-Charley Rivers National Preserve, the 46-acre Hughes Mountain fire near the Koyukuk River village of Hughes, and the 60,000-acre Zitziana River fire south of Manly Hot Springs. One of the first steps toward oil development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is in the works. The company has applied to do a 3D seismic survey, Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
A company called SA Exploration wants to bring about a dozen vibrating vehicles to the refuge, each mounted on a rubber track. Several at a time would drive parallel lines across the frozen tundra. The trucks would drive about 8 lines across a typical square mile. The plan is to shoot seismic across the entire coastal plain, or 2,600 square miles. Leslie Ellis Waters of the BLM says it's the same technology that was used west of the refuge in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska.
We felt that there would be insignificant impacts, so we're planning on doing an environmental assessment, and when that is available, we will post that environmental assessment with a draft finding of no significant impact.
Attorney Jason Rylander at Defenders of Wildlife says the activity is far from harmless.
In fact, you can still see the scarring from the last time that seismic testing was allowed in only just a small portion of the refuge.
In the 1980s, Congress allowed a 2D seismic survey on the coastal plain of the refuge, resulting in more than 1,000 miles of trails. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says most of the trails recovered well in the first decade, but a few miles were still visible from the air decades later. Data collection for a 3D seismic survey is more intensive, with far more sensors. Rylander and other environmentalists say they're especially worried about the impact seismic work could have on polar bears.
During denning season, it can cause mother polar bears to leave their den. It can expose polar bear cubs to disturbance.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says noise disturbance and passing vehicles have prompted some mother polar bears to abandon their dens, while others seem to adjust to industrial noise. In Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The Folk School of Fairbanks has a new home at Pioneer Park. The nonprofit school's board of directors hopes to attract more students and offer more classes on traditional crafts and outdoor skills in two buildings they've moved into over the past couple of weeks. KUAC's Tim Ellis took a tour of the school's new facilities and has this report.
The old cabin that'll house the Folk School's offices and a classroom or two is a bit rough around the edges, but Board President Gordon Williams says it's the perfect place for the school, which for 15 years has offered hands-on instruction on such traditional skills as woodworking and gardening, along with some 21st century sustainability classes on subjects like recycling.
It's a prime location. I mean, it's right next to the Nanana and Centennial Hall.
Williams says the cabin next to the riverboat Nenana and another nearby building both are located much more conveniently than the big cabin on Beverly Lane off Goldstream Road that the school's been operating out of for nearly 4 years.
It wasn't great, for example, if you want to have like an after-school program for kids, because that far out, that's not really going to work for an hour, hour and a half class.
Consistent with the school's emphasis on sustainability and conservation, students won't have to drive a vehicle to get there.
There's bus access, there's bike trail access.
Williams says the Folk School should have much greater visibility in Pioneer Park, and he hopes to attract some of the people who go there with activities it'll offer at the cabin and the wood shop.
We'll offer classes in boat making and building. There's a class about how to build your own pack raft.
On the walk across the playground to the wood shop, Williams says he hopes the new location also will enable the school to strengthen its relationship with partner organizations that include the Alaska Songbird Institute and Calypso Farm.
We're members of both Explore Fairbanks and the Arts Association, and both of those operate here in the park. And so being able to develop a closer and more active relationship with them, I think, is also going to be helpful for us.
The light reveals a big shop with power tools and workbenches lined up against the wall waiting to be set up. And it's immediately clear that both Williams and Don Kiley, the school's operation director who tagged along for the tour, are excited about putting all that space to good use.
It's also quite a bit larger than the wood shop that we had at Beverly Lane as well.
Yeah, so twice the square footage. So that's going to be a huge improvement for us.
Williams says the bigger shop will be great for teaching students how to build such handiwork as traditional birch bark canoes and functional furniture.
There's something special about when you bring people who are passionate about something they know together with people who are passionate to learn it.
Kylie, a longtime folk school volunteer and supporter, says that passion comes from believing in the school and the instruction that it offers.
The energy and the positiveness, and people are so excited to be doing what they're doing or teaching what they're teaching, and, you know, just it overflows with good karma.
Folk school staff could use some good karma and maybe some volunteer help in getting their new digs set up before they celebrate their opening with an official ribbon cutting in a couple of weeks, with classes beginning soon thereafter. This fall's lineup includes courses on designing floral bouquets and how to butcher a chicken. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The new director of the University of Alaska Museum of the North is a familiar face. Pat Druckenmiller is the museum's longtime earth sciences curator. Druckenmiller, a paleontologist well known for his dinosaur fossil discovery, says he'll balance the new role leading the museum with work in the field.
It's that kind of work and research that keeps me really excited about being at the museum and doing what we do. It also actually keeps me really connected to the other curators and collection managers and staff that help make the museum what it is, because ultimately, what we do there all starts with the research and the collections.
Druckenmiller says a new focus as director will be raising money to help fund projects, including renovation of the museum's flagship Gallery of Alaska. Druckenmiller says it has great exhibits, but they haven't changed much since the 1980s, and he envisions a more flexible space that can display more of what the museum archives contain.
We want to bring effectively the downstairs upstairs to the people, design a gallery that will allow us to continually refresh on a regular basis.
Druckenmiller says another initiative is to better represent Indigenous cultures.
We value that as an important part of the planning process, and in fact we have a person specifically hired to help us sort of be a liaison between the museum and the new gallery exhibits and the Native communities. So that's a critical part of what we do.
Meanwhile, Druckenmiller remains busy looking for dinosaur fossils in Denali National Park and on the Colville River on the North Slope, environments he says are conducive to different but complementary discoveries.
The tracks in Denali inform us about potential dinosaurs maybe we haven't found in northern Alaska, but the bones and teeth up in northern Alaska tell us who might have been leaving the tracks that we see in Denali.
Druckenmiller recently returned from a trip in Denali where he says the team made a significant track discovery.
Very, very clear evidence for large tyrannosaurs. So some of the largest land carnivores that ever lived in the state of Alaska. So we're talking about slightly smaller versions of something like T-Rex. Beautiful footprints of those this summer in Denali.
Druckenmiller is soon heading out in a 3-week expedition to the Colville River to look for dinosaur bones. I'm Dan Bross.